The Scottish seine is designed to fish all the bottom dwellers that will be corralled by a warp that's thrown over the side in two pieces, each side of the net itself. And one side goes over, the net is ceremoniously dumped, and then the other warp goes over the side as the vessel prescribes a circle. And so the vessel ends up with both ends of the 2 mile warp, as it is, as a mile and a quarter on each side of the net. And they start hoisting both ends by a machine called a Bagel's coiler. And so the warps from each side are hauled back as the vessel's stern is backed into the middle of the net and wherever the bag itself is going to arise from the bottom, the depths with the fish, skates, lobsters, flatfish of every sort. They all come aboard. They aren't all beat up as they are with an otter trawl, which has been dragged for 2 or 3 hours, and everything is squashed in the bag. This is a very light seine bag that comes aboard, and you can see in the photographs the fish are still leaping about, and they're in great shape. They're in beautiful shape. It not only captures the fish and delivers them still kicking, but it doesn't tear up the bottom either. Phil Rule had been Scottish seining before he got into sword fishing, but the sword fishing was such a productive fishery, so he figured he was making life easier for himself. And then, of course, the Mercury Edict came down and made it impossible to continue sword fishing. So this was a good out for him and a productive method. And then he went back to sword fishing after the mercury thing was proved to be a little excessive, because most of the worst of the mercury came out of the Mississippi River and was in the catch that was taken in the Gulf of Mexico. That was very high in mercury because the fish that the swordfish were feasting on in the Gulf of Mexico was tainted by the outflow from the Mississippi River. Phil Rule, he was thrown out of the sword fishing, and I had let him in, and so I tried to placate him somewhat by saying what a great guy he was to jump back into the Scottish seining, which to me was a pretty nice way to go. And then, of course, during the same project, we ran up against the Russians, who if the mercury kerfuffle wasn't bad enough. During the documentation of the otter seining success, lo and behold, who shows up but a Russian trawler, a big sucker. And I don't know how he got wind of what we were doing, because we avoided him. We saw him there and steamed 3 miles to get clear of him. Set out our gear, and these guys know pretty much what everyone else is doing, and they aren't above taking as much as they can of whatever you might have harvested. And so from out of the distance comes this huge trawler, and these guys, they were fishing for our gear more than anything else. And they went charging right across one of the legs of the Scottish seine, and of course parted the line. And so we hauled back an empty net, and they went charging off with whatever we would have had in the net had we had a chance to haul it ourselves. The crew of the Harry Glenn was not particularly happy with the fact that the Mercury Edict had been dropped on sword fishermen. Instead of stopping the source of the mercury at where it was coming from, they decided to jump on the harvest of swordfish. As it turns out, it wasn't that much mercury, minuscule amount, and it was only distributed among a minuscule amount of swordfish. But for the crew of the Harry Glenn, it really didn't make any difference that they thought that I was the cause of all their hardship. They were very kind, to be hospitable anyway. If you look at the expressions on their faces as I was taking photographs, you can see they didn't find me that attractive, as attractive as I found them anyway.